Hi, this is Johnny. I'm your host, and you are listening to Music Seeds, the music that made us.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Music Seeds, the music that made us. I am your host, Johnny. I'm glad you're back, and I'm glad you're here to listen to part two of the podcast with Mr. Jeremy McCree and Mr. Jack Miller on the music that saved us. Just want to give you a heads up that this next episode has a lot of different opinions and diversity, and you know, we kind of go along the track of just us having different thoughts and ideas on a lot of different things. So just want to give you a heads up on that, that this is just opinions of three different individuals that, you know, maybe not see eye to eye all the time, but definitely can sit in a room and talk about different things and be able to enjoy each other's company. I hope you enjoy it very much. I know I did. I'm looking forward to the next episode where I can sit down with them. Also looking to get back with some of the other folks, including Mr. JT Money and Mr. Reese Argo. Also going to be sitting down with some new guests, which I'm looking very forward to do here in the next few weeks. Meanwhile, you can just check out this part two of this episode, and we go down the rabbit hole of the music that saved us and inspired us and gets us through those moments. We definitely have a lot of conversations about the things that we go through, the things that we deal with, like a lot of you in your everyday life. And I hope you enjoy it. Giddy up. Here we go.
So you had said something earlier about listening to our parents' music and seeing what it did, the impact on your mother and father, like what their music, the impact that they had on them, right? You alluded to that.
Yes.
So it got me thinking. In fact, I haven't been able to stop thinking about it, and I'm going to try to tie it into what you just said, John. I have no memories of my dad and music because my dad wasn't in my life really until I was 21. But if I'm looking at my stepdad, who was basically the basis of my music taste, Pink Floyd, things like that, I don't have any clear memories of music doing that for him. I don't know if music did. I don't even know if today that music
was. Well, some people, it doesn't. I mean, I don't want to stop your train of thought. You can finish your thought. But I was going to say real quick that music doesn't. Some people don't aren't like, just like people aren't. Some people aren't into sports. It's the same thing with music. Music is nothing to them. It's noise in the background. It's a lot more important to us.
That's good, because I can piggyback off of that. With my mom specifically, she had her music mostly country and Western. And I think that music did that for her, but I don't remember seeing it. And I actually think that your last statement, taking a handful of maybe 10 bands out of it until today, is actually very true for me too. The music wasn't, it wasn't, There's a whole conversation tangent that I can go down to, but I'm going to just try to summarize it very, very quickly. You know, in the things that I'm working on in therapy and in the shit that I'm working on, I think I was very shunted when it came to listening to a song and having it touch me for a very long time in my life. And it goes back to our earlier conversation and the emotions that I'm dealing with and things like that. I think for a long time, music was very peripheral for me. I didn't utilize it like some people did growing up. Now, if we take that from like 1975 to 1980, that's 100% true. But then 90, we're talking about Nine Inch Nails, okay? And then talking about the love song, right? Pearl Jam's 10, right? And Red Hot Chili Peppers, Blood Sugar, Sex Magik. Those three albums got me through some very pivotal times in my life. Very, very emotional times in my life. But then if I look at it, and I'm actually, as I'm talking to you guys, I think I'm just now figuring this out, which is great. But like, okay, so let's assume that from 90 to 94, I was a very emotional person, okay? And I'm not going to get into all the shit that I went through and that I'm working with it because I don't want to derail this podcast. I shut all that down in 94, okay? And so then I move here in 96, and then I meet Jack, and we start working together in 97, and then you and two and I started working together in 2000. But even that from that time frame, there was some times during that time frame that music did help me out. But it was one or two songs here or there. It wasn't entire albums. It wasn't things like that, right? I almost feel like in today's world, like I'm listening to an entire playlist right now of Grateful Dead, and it's every album in order, just so I can say I tackled it and I can listen to it, right?
Yeah.
And there's some really good stuff on there. There's some shit on there that I'm just like, I still, to this day, don't understand how people do it.
Yeah, I feel the same way about that, but I mean, you're right. There are nuggets of fantastic musicianship in
there. I have the ability today to sit down and listen to music And either listen to it peripherally, as you said, okay, or listen to it and go, fuck, like, have an emotion behind it, be able to appreciate it more. Because I think that for a really long time, I think I just realized it. It has been part of the conversation. And if you go back and listen to these podcasts with us, I do spend a lot of time being very, very quiet. Right? Mm-hmm. One is because I have nothing to say, but two, it's like I don't know what to say. I can't contribute to it, right? And I think part of the reason that I don't feel like I can contribute to it is because I'm just now realizing that for a very, very long time, I have correlation to songs, okay? I correlate them to things, right? But I don't have a direct correlation in the same fashion that you guys do, right? It was peripheral. I was listening to it at the time. Okay, 1991, 92, 93, listening to Suicidal Tendencies over and over again, or listening to Primus over again, 100%, right? I can say beyond a shadow of a doubt there are 5 or 10 albums during those 3 or 4 years that saved my life. I might not have been in a bad place, but they saved my life without me knowing it, looking back on it. But today, it's much different. It's a much different mindset to be able to go back and listen to it and be able to discover it and want to discover it. Yeah. Want to discover. You were talking about, when I segue into what you were talking about, Cat Stevens. I love Cat Stevens. I've loved Cat Stevens my entire life.
Right? Me too.
His new album is actually pretty good. Well, I haven't listened to it all, but it's actually...
And I wanted to say his name that he's going by now.
Yusuf Islam.
Yeah,
but he did release it as Cat Stevens, right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to releasing it as, if you look at it, I think it's... But,
I think it's like a...
Right, it's a slash, right? Yeah, okay, yeah. But the point is fucking Cat's in the Cradle. I've got Ugly Kid Joe pulled up, right? Because like the song Cat's in the Cradle, both versions of that fucking song. I was thinking of, there is another song, along those, maybe his father and son, his father and son. Okay, I was the kid using Cats in the Cradle, sitting on the step, waiting for my dad.
Yeah.
Okay, I was the kid who didn't have the father, right? I mean, I have two, I have the stepdad and I have the dad, but even to this day, right, like I did not have them as children, right, as a child, right? I did not have my mother as a child. Totally different conversation for a totally different podcast. But it's weird to sit here and think about this from this aspect going, Cats in the Cradle touched me. I could blah blah that song to bring tears to my eyes.
You're not alone at the
right.
Okay, you're one of millions.
But I didn't do that as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I'm doing that as an adult.
Yes.
Okay. As an adult now, like as a kid I listened to it, I understand it, but I wasn't focusing on it. I wasn't channeling. A Pretty Hate Machine. Yeah, that album channeled some shit for me. I will not deny it, okay? But I can listen to... here's a flip it. Okay, so Pretty Hate Machine was a channel for me at that time in my life.
Yes.
Whereas listening to Cats in the Cradle at that time in my life, I wasn't
wallowing
in it.
It's because we transitioned.
Right, but today, okay, I can listen to Pretty Hate Machine and... It's not channeling anything for me.
Yeah.
But I can listen to fucking Cats in the Cradle and be emotional.
100%.
And it's so weird, that mental shift.
It's life.
I don't think it's Cats in the Cradle. It's the message behind Cats in the Cradle that is causing me to be emotional. It's not, does that make sense? Like, it's not... It's the...
feeling that was put
behind it. Exactly.
I would say the emotional intent
that
Harry Chapin wrote. Because, it was a relatable... Whether it was a true story in his life or he just thought it was a great story to tell, but he wrote it was intentional.
It was the emotion behind it of being the kid that's sitting on the fucking step.
And then you becoming that.
Right. I'm that now. Yeah. I'm that today. I want those things today, right? I couldn't touch those emotions back then. I blocked those emotions out. But today, I would love to have a relationship with both of my parents and my mother if she was still around. But I don't.
Yeah.
And so I can use that today if I wanted to bring me to a place that is uncomfortably comfortable. Because I'm more willing to live in that space today in not the wanting the parent thing. In the emotional headspace that one becomes if you are listening to the songs that we were talking about being nostalgic. Mm-hmm.
Another song is like a... updated version. It's a nostalgia song for me, and I've never told my father about this song because to me this song represents how I felt our relationship is or was, because it's better now that we're, like John alluded to, you have your relationship with your parents as authority figures, and then as you become adults, ideally you become, I wouldn't say equals, but you're both adults, so your conversations and your emotional back and forth becomes different because now you're both adults. I've never told my dad about this, but it's still thinking about it now. It's kind of almost, it describes how I felt. This is The Living Years by Mike and the Mechanic. Oh, if you're not, you know, is Jeremy looks a little confused.
I
can't, like, remember that song.
I know, right? I know the song. I know, I probably heard the song.
And it's very similar in stylistic writing of Cats in the Cradle. Not exactly the same storyline, but it's like, the song but goes on to say, I wish I would have told him in the living years, meaning he kind of missed his opportunity to explain how he felt about his dad and how much, you know, he respected him. And then when I first heard that song too, I'm like, wow, that hit me right out of the gate. Because some songs, like you said, you listen to, you don't really hear until later on, or you won't pay attention. But that song, the first time I heard it, like, I was locked in.
I know,
like, oh my God, this person is saying, you know, Paul Carrick is singing these thoughts and these feelings I've had for the longest time. Because my dad and I had a contentious relationship because we were very different people, right? And I love him dearly. I love him dearly, and it's nice now that we have a better relationship.
Because
my dad has softened a little bit with age. Mm-hmm. He just turned 83, but he has softened with age and becoming a grandfather and things like that. You know, he's not the same staunch person he was back in, you know, when I was growing up.
Yeah.
And like I said, our relationship now is very different, and I'm very happy for that. But yeah, for that, at that time, it nailed how I felt. And I never did tell him, which I probably never will. But when I hear that song today, I don't hear it very often, but I do.
Yeah.
It still brings me back to that. And that's a key nostalgic thing and I didn't really talk about it to too many people because I don't know if they would understand. They would have to be like, so maybe my sister I can talk to about it, because they don't know. They only know, you know, my friends or even my wife only knows the relationship I have with my dad for the last, you know, 20, 30 years that my wife and I have been together. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's very much the same kind of thing with Cats in the Cradle. It's very much in the same vein. If you don't know the song, I highly recommend you look into it.
Yeah, I looked the lyrics up, and I know exactly. Now that you said it, that's one of those songs that, like, Kyrie Lay's on, right? I know the song, right? But I'm looking at the lyrics now, and I'm looking at it from a totally different way. Now I'm going to have to go listen to it. Because I never heard it in that fashion.
Right.
Again, it was a song from the fucking 80s. It just happened to be good, and it happened to be catchy. And,
it's an excellent song on its own right. But yeah, it's on an emotional level. Especially, I mean, you're familiar with the song, right?
Oh,
I don't know if it had that same thing for you. I think you and I had similar dynamics with our fathers.
It did at that moment with me, because I wanted that relationship with them then. And when that song came out, and I didn't have it.
I think that's part of it as well.
Yeah.
I wanted to be closer to my dad, but he was one of those... Well, yeah, but he's one of those, you know, older generations where, you know, you kept the children at, you know, there's a lot of TikToks out there about the boomer generation versus the Gen Xers and the millennials and how the Gen Xers, we were left to our own devices. That you had to be, you know, the boomers had to be reminded they had kids, even, let alone, you know, it's 10 o'clock, you know where your children are? Oh, yeah, where are the kids?
Right.
And we joke about it now. But because we can, but yeah, that was a very, very real thing.
Mm-hmm.
We were the latchkey kids, you know. We were given a key to the house at 10 years old and saying, okay, make sure you lock the door when you go home and things like that. It was a very different world then as it is now.
And I feel like it's great that that generation's now open and that generation's now available to be emotional and to be more human and stuff. But I do believe there needs to be an ownership with that, because it's now almost like, the social media is like, poor me, and, you know, and things, and you got to be like, okay, I made a mistake, I'm going to learn from it, I'm going to grow as a person, not keep on thinking that I'm being open about everything and not learning from being open.
I don't know, I feel differently about it. I'm just happy I have the relationship with my father that I do, and I'm not looking for him to have any kind of epiphany either and say,
No.
I was very, you know, I should have been different then.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the younger
generation saying that we weren't open enough, and now they're all open. I'm like, well, you're open, but you're not owning up to your, like, learning from stuff. That's one thing we can do now, is what I'm saying, is we look back at how that was. And we've learned from that, and what we want with our children, and our relationship with our parents and our friends.
Bringing that, you know, that's a good thing. I mean, what it made me just think of is, like, is that the reason why the music of today isn't quite as poignant as what we grew up with? Whether it was like the,
because that was their way of venting,
right?
But you know what? I've had this conversation with myself a thousand times. I might not like the music of today. I might not be able to get into the music of today. But you know what? There is a lot of good music out there that is helping kids in the same fashion.
I guess you're right. You're right.
I posted something on that on a commentary on Rolling Stone last year because people are beaten up, and we kind of had this conversation when we hear Taylor Swift. Because she's so huge, and she's so popular, and she's resonating with so many people.
And she's part of the Illuminati. No,
yeah, and everybody's like we're sick of her, we're tired of her. And I get it. You're tired of all of it, but it's still helping people through shit.
Yeah. And that's absolutely right. I have to walk my statement back, I guess, or walk my question back. Because you're right, Jeremy. The music of today is just as important to the people of today as our music was to us in our day. I always hated that, too, when people say, there's no good music anymore, whatever happened, you know, the good old days when The Doors and Led Zeppelin came out. Yeah, okay, but in your day, The Doors and Led Zeppelin were new music then, too.
Yeah.
They weren't classic. They didn't invent classic rock. They became classic rock. And like I just said, the music of today is just as important to the people of today as it was for us in our day.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, so I shouldn't discount that. Just because it's not, doesn't speak to us. Right. I had to laugh. Let me finish this thought. I had to laugh the other day. Some guy, this entertainment guy, was talking about the new Barbie movie and how he didn't like it, the new Barbie movie. And the first words that came out of my mouth as I listened, I was like, you're not the target audience.
Yeah.
Some crotchety old 70-year-old, you know, entertainment guy who's been a jaded man for decades. You're not the target audience for the Barbie movie. So, of course, you didn't like it, you old fart.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not going to go see it, but that's just me.
But are you going to check it out when it comes out?
Yeah, maybe. When it
comes out. Do you know what it's actually about?
It's quasi-political, yes. I've read it into a little bit.
It's a social commentary on everything.
And that's fine, but I'm not looking forward to sitting in a theater to watch it. Maybe when it comes out.
But they're using humor to kind of
address it. I get that.
Barbie using Barbie as a social commentary?
Yes,
I know,
Barbie,
isn't that crazy?
Barbie versus Ken. That's the whole point of it.
I really want to sell this point and just give me a chance. The two people that are creating this are some great writers and directors that have made some really great movies. And they're taking a fucking 180 chance with this movie. Because this is not their genre. They usually make art films, these two people.
Greta Gerwig?
Greta Gerwig and Noah. Did you see Lady Bird?
No.
Okay. Okay, so they make art pieces, okay? And a lot of their work is social commentary on who we are as people. Lady Bird was about a mother and daughter and about their relationship. About a single mom raising a child and a lot of shit that goes with that, being a single mother. And a teenage girl trying to discover who she is, okay? That was her and her bringing that to her life, okay? So now they're taking a 180 and taking a risk making a popular movie and trying to address our social issues as well, how we deal with race, gender, and being female, okay? So,
I'm not downplaying the movie. It's not my cup of tea, so I'm not looking to it.
I'm going to do it.
My point was that this guy was saying he didn't like it, and you know, and he's giving a movie review, and I'm like, maybe you're not the right person to give a review because you're not the target audience. You know, it's not. Just like the music, I said Taylor Swift. I like Taylor Swift. I respect her. She's very talented. It's not my favorite thing, but I do enjoy it. But I won't go see the show because I'm not that much into it. But once again, too. But I mean, I'm not the target audience either. I'm not. Same with a lot of. Some of the catchy songs of like BTS, you know, the whole K-pop thing. Once again, they're all enjoyable, but I'm not crazy about this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not the target audience.
That's what I love
about
you, Jack, though, and that's what I want more people to realize is that. Don't hate and destroy something you don't like.
Right.
Disrespect it enough that it's something of an outlet for somebody else.
Right.
And
that's what I'm saying. Just because I don't like it, but I'm not the target audience, and that's okay. Yeah. I can dislike something just as much as people like it, but I don't make it a point to tear it down.
Exactly.
You know,
people
I don't go that route.
Right. And it's
but
like,
I used
why
to,
are
but
you
I used
wasting
to,
all this energy in something you don't like?
And touching on the Nocturnal episode we just completed, or just recently. That was me back in the day. I used to tear down things I didn't like or I didn't think was popular, whatever. I mean, I used to be that way, and I've tried very hard over the years, because it's been a long journey for me to change that about me. And I still do it, and I still catch myself doing it. It's always a constant work, trying not to tear down things that I don't like, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, like we talk about music now here. We talk about the nostalgia. I remember when the Beastie Boys first came on the scene with License to Ill, and I hated it because it was so like, oh my God, three Jewish kids rapping, and what the heck is this? And they're using Led Zeppelin as a, you know, as a sample. Oh my God, they're ruining music. And I was really against it. And then when I grew older and I listened to it and I started listening to more of their stuff, I realized how, what's the word I'm looking for, innovational they were, how much they meant to music, because mm-hmm. they were doing something different.
Yeah.
And, you know, so people can change if you take the time to listen.
Yeah.
You know, and give things a chance.
And it's amazing, you know, that Rick Rubin, his mind, and how he said, I'm going to take this stuff that I grew up liking and change. It's, you know, it's almost like taking electronica or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, like he took something that he enjoyed and put it into something new and innovative.
And it touches back onto what you said earlier, you've said before, and I think we all, you know, we struggle with not being so critical, but we also feel that, you know, just because you don't like it doesn't mean someone else does.
And
doesn't,
it brings them,
you know,
joy.
And then, yeah, and they enjoy it, then that's fine. Or just like with religion. Yeah. If your religion tells you you can't do something, that's fine for you. But it's not okay for you to try to force that,
yes,
that on other people, which, yes, is what we're seeing now. Not to get too political, I'll just touch on this. Like the book, taking books out of the library,
yeah,
certain things, and you know, and it's like, hey, if you don't want your child reading that book, that's okay for you to keep your child.
You can't erase history.
But you can't, yeah, and you can't. The same with critical race. You can't alter the history just because you don't like what happened. It happened. We're teaching the children these things happen. So that's, once again, you can't, it's all right for you, but just because that's the way you are, you can't force your ideals on everybody else.
You can't.
And it's the same with musical taste.
That's what I'm going to tie it into, is like, music has grown into what it is now, and we are older, and it's just like anything else. It just, everything evolves.
Yeah.
And it's how we address that evolution, how we kind of sit back and go, okay, I want to kind of know, but I don't really want to know because it's not my thing. But at least kind of want to, like, why is this social commentary happening within music or art or film or whatever it might be?
I'm very much like that. I try, and it's difficult with music, like Jeremy alluded to, too. It's like, it's just not really for, you know, it's not something I'm enjoying, but that's just me. I try to be current, though. I try to make sure I know what's going on. I don't want to be one of these people as I grow older. And getting to my, you know, going into my 60s and 70s and 80s kind of thing, I don't want to be one of those people who only knows what I learned growing up. I want to know what's going on. I like learning about technology. I like learning, being a part of it, and knowing what's current. And as frustrating as it can be, you know, with like the political landscape we are, and as frustrating as it can be, at least I know what's going on. I don't want to be so ignorant that, you know, you say, hey, have you heard about this? And people go, no. What do you mean, no? I mean, mm-hmm. this could be something that could be impactful. And I guess it's okay if you choose to close everything out like that, but I don't want to be that way. Yeah. Like my father and my father-in-law, neither one of them have internet.
Yeah.
They don't have cable television. They don't have...
Well, it probably is good for the...
Well, my dad doesn't have cable television. My father doesn't have cable television. My father-in-law has, you know, a satellite. But it's just like, to that point where it's like, you know, and I have these conversations with my father-in-law about, they're like, he's like, why, well, I want to know this. I'm like, well, if you had the internet, you would know this.
Yeah.
Now, you wouldn't have to rely on me and your son to find things for you when you had, you, it would be at your fingertip.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to deal with all that. I don't want to be that person. It's okay if they want to be that person, but I don't.
Well, it's amazing. I deal with that being in the retail world, you know, like how they have a lot of apps and stuff, and how that's how you get a discount, and that's how you, you know, like they put the military discount on the phone, and oh my God, you think that we created like this, we do not want people thing. And it's like, no, they're trying to make it easier and accessible. Plus they're trying to make sure people are not using other people's discount without, you know, it being your own. But you know, the whole generation, like, you're canceling me out and you're not accepting me. And I'm like, it's just technology.
I can't get that app on my flip phone.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's like, so I get it. You know, like, when things change and you're trying to like live the life you live, and you want to live the life you live, but you don't want to adapt, it's difficult. I get it. You know, 100%.
So I guess, I mean, that's why, I mean, the nostalgia thing is a good point, because I said it, nostalgia is okay. There's nothing wrong with nostalgia, but when people live in nostalgia, which is those are the people, though, those people who love to use the phrase, in the good old days.
Yeah.
Well, they were only the good old days as far as you remember. If you really, if you look things realistically, you know, like I was watching a little snippet of a comedian, actually a female comedian. She made a good point. I was like, oh, the good old days, the good old days. Yeah, for some people, but what about the Mexican Americans? What about the African Americans? They're females.
Exactly.
It was a good old days for them, who could, people who couldn't come out of the closet, or people who couldn't vote. You know, how was that a good old day for them?
Yeah.
You know, and what about good old days when malaria was running rampant, or and these things before we had certain, you know, medicines, and disease was wiping people out by the droves. It was, you know, so what was so good about them? You're living in the haze of nostalgia, because sometimes it'll do that. Nostalgia will sometimes wash away the bad that actually happened, because you only remember what you want to remember.
I have a counterpoint to your guys' conversation.
Okay. What part of the conversation?
I fundamentally understand how meaningful, how impactful ignorance is bliss is. Because you say you want to be involved.
Yeah, I don't want to be.
Right.
I don't want to live in the haze of nostalgia, or just,
right,
you know, like, oh, things were so much better in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, time marches on. Time moves forward.
Right.
When we have to live in that time. You can, if you, okay, here's a great example. Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite. That man lived his life, and if I can just go back to 1974 or 84.
And you know what's really funny that you bring that up, because I just had this conversation with somebody. You know my feeling about that song, the Fall Out Boy song, okay? I'm a huge Billy Joel fan.
Me too.
And that song,
I once saw him on that tour.
Just real quick, Billy Joel is... And he's rightfully so. He's been held up there, but I agree with that. He's one of the great songwriters of our generation. He just wrote great music, not just music, but great lyrics. He was a great storyteller. So he rightfully so belongs up as high as he's held.
We saw him at Coors Field a couple of years ago, and he played Downeaster Alexa. It was on his playlist,
uh-huh,
and it brought tears to my eyes.
Yeah.
It's giving me goosebumps now. It was very, very emotional to me.
Yeah, I heard it a few months ago again, and it got me.
It's my favorite fucking song from him. Like, that's a go, talking about earlier in the podcast, a go-to song.
Yeah.
That's one of those songs, like, if I need to... An emotional dopamine.
A little
little melancholy.
Exactly.
You feel
melancholy. Exactly.
And I was going to tell you mine still is, and I brought it probably up before in a podcast, is Best of You.
Yes, exactly.
Because that, it's one of those songs
exactly.
that means two different things, and I sometimes feel like I got people getting the best of me, and sometimes I feel like I need to be giving people the best of me.
And sometimes, ever since you brought that up, however many episodes ago that was, every time I hear that song, I hear it in a totally different way.
Yeah.
But the ignorance is bliss thing. Jack saying that he wants to be up on the times, and he doesn't want to be an 80-year-old man not knowing what the fuck is going on. I actually never thought that I would be one to say this, but I really don't want to know what the fuck is going on. And it ties into the last conversation we were having, right? I'm not saying that I'm going to go out of my way to become ignorant, because that's just not in my nature. But it's very, very easy for me to not want to be involved, not want to pay attention. There's a specific reason why. And this is something that I need to work on, and it's something that I need to figure out how to do.
Yes.
But if I'm only using Google News as my news source, okay? And then I'm also looking to bring a little bit of politics into this, into the state of the news world in this day and age.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's nothing good going on in the world using that as a news source. Okay, and so if I take that thought process and I go, okay, well, none of the news agencies, or very few of the news agencies, are looking to report just the news like we grew up on the news. It's just somebody reporting.
Just reporting, not spinning.
Right. So if none of these companies are willing to do that. It's very easy for me to want to be ignorant, because wherever I go, it's all going to be negative. I'm not even going to be able to trust my senses in what I'm reading. Right? Is this true or not? Because I don't even know if this is true or not. So inside of recovery, in the past, I understand what it's like to live in that headspace. Right? I understand what it's like to. Not that I want to live in high school, right?
No, but people lock into a moment and say,
right.
If things went differently, my life would be different. And that's not fundamentally true.
I am not coming from it from a place that I think that my life needs to be any different than it needs to, right? I'm coming at it from a place that it's very easy for me to not get involved, right? Even as much as I want to know, and I don't want to be an ignorant human, as I want to know what new technology is, and I want to know what's going on in the world. It's very hard for me in the headspace that I am today. And maybe it'll change. It could change tomorrow. It could change in 6 months. It's very hard for me in today's headspace to live in that world because I'm not seeing anything good. And I don't want to be... I have friends who live in a headspace where they're just looking at the bad. And so all they're seeing is the bad.
Yeah.
And so I don't... It's very easy for me to be in that headspace and get there. And so I am trying to back myself out of it because I can't find a balance, personally.
Yeah, but you're making the choice. I think I would contend, let's put it that way, I would contend you're making that choice because you have come to learn about your addictive personality.
Correct.
And how you know that, given if you were still, like, if you were like me, how it would affect you.
Correct.
And you don't want 1,000% to be, right, you don't want
exactly.
to be that person anymore.
Exactly.
So you're making a conscious choice
correct.
to funnel the information
right.
you want to see.
Right.
And that's fine. That's fine.
Or be ignorant, right?
Right.
It's a
choice. By
choice,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It is a choice in this day and age for me.
And I feel the same exact way. And then months ago, it was last year, I made a decision that I'm not going to do that also. But now I make the headspace and time for it when I know I can do it. Like, it's like, okay, I need to catch up what's going on because obviously some people are talking about things I have no idea what they're talking about.
Right.
I'm going to jump on, I'm going to see what's going on with some things,
right.
and then I'm going to take myself away from it.
Right.
And I do that. I'm really good at being like, and I get goosebumps now because I'm very proud of myself that I can do that. Because I see what you mean because you're like, okay, here's the environment, here's what's going on in politics. It's, you know, you get all this shit and you're like, okay, enough.
Right.
Now I know what's going on and now I can put it away for a little while.
So do you guys see my home screen? On my phone?
Yes.
Okay, so I've got Spotify, I've got the meeting guide, I've got my gallery, and I've got my clock, right?
Yeah.
Those are the four things that I use on a daily basis. And then if you scroll up, I have all of my apps.
Yeah.
And all of my apps are in a folder, so it's really tough to get to. That's why if you saw me looking for my phone, it took me fucking forever to find it. Because I just did this. It took me forever to find Chrome so I could go look up Kiri Liaison. Because I used to know where Chrome was, right? But this week, I have changed everything up.
Yeah.
To get out of that, I'm trying to make things harder for myself. I put timers on everything. My Google, I'm not about to be able to get into Gmail here in a couple of minutes, right? I'm not about to be able to get into Chrome here in a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Because I told my phone to stop.
Yes.
And the same thing with Instagram, right? I'm backing myself up from Instagram because the dopamine we were talking about,
right.
we were talking about my brain chasing dopamine. Do Instagram's fucking great for that for the first 5 minutes. Right, but then I get stuck in personally. I get stuck in this downward spiral of I'm surfing Instagram, looking at the same shit over and over and over again,
yeah.
and it's killing time. It's killing my mentality.
And I want to tie it into another thing that I'm definitely starting to do a lot more of too. And I feel like this is ownership. Like this is owning
right.
it. And so like I feel like that's the way work kind of abuses you sometimes too, because they know you have that.
Right.
And you shouldn't have, your work should not have ownership of you.
No.
So your people shouldn't have ownership of you like, hey, I just called you, why didn't you pick up?
Right.
Or hey, I just texted you, why didn't you pick up?
Right.
I need a like, I don't need this, I'm going to shut it off, I'm going to put it away, I'm going to have a little bit of me time, and then I will come back to it, put it on, okay? Because it should be that way. You shouldn't have to be like when somebody's like wanting you to respond back or wanting you to get back to them or why didn't you do this or why didn't you do that and why work, you know, even the same way. You know, it's like I turned it off because I'm not there. You know, like I should be able to do that.
This is going to sound terrible, which is the precursor to something terrible. I'm proud of myself that I'm actually pretty good at that in general. I'm not addicted to my phone.
Yeah.
I can set it down. I can leave it up. It's like I have a flat charger up in my bedroom and I put my phone on the charger when I get, you know, whatever. And I come downstairs and I'm like, oh, I left my phone upstairs. I don't freak out and have to go running upstairs. As you've got maybe or did or did not notice, once we begin talking, I put my phone screen down right here in front of me, and I very rarely ever flip it over or look. I don't care. I'm present in the moment. Yeah, I'm present in the moment. And I know a lot of people can't do that, and I'm not trying to. I'm not looking for pats on the back or anything else. I'm just saying that, like, just like with Facebook, a lot of people say, I know you personally got off Facebook years ago because it was you know, too much or whatever, and you do the same thing. You know, I use Facebook because I mean, I like Facebook, but I'm not addicted to it. I use Facebook. I only have a handful of friends or friends on Facebook, quote, air quotes. And there are people, everybody on my friends list are people I know.
Yeah.
And I use it to what I want to use. If I'm scrolling along, I don't like what I see, I keep scrolling. I don't keep go down the rabbit hole of like, oh, this asshole or whatever. This I just keep, and I look at, and I use it for what I want to use it for. Uh-huh. And what I use Facebook for is to keep track of my friends and keep in contact with people and that I can't, that aren't right, aren't close to my circle, they're out of state or whatever, and I'm in control.
Yes.
That's why, but people, a lot of people who use Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and others, they're not in control. They allow the apps or these things to control them. And I think that's a huge problem because you said there has to be a time where you have to turn off, to your point. Yes. Just like same with yours. You have to set the timers to yours in order to cut it off. John, you have the willpower to walk away from it. Same with me.
Yeah.
I don't give a crap sometimes. I just turn my phone off or put it away, you know?
That's why every notification is turned off on this phone. I don't want no fucking notifications.
Yeah.
The only thing I want is if somebody is an emergency and they need to get a hold of me, they can call me, and that will be the first thing I see is if somebody was trying to get a hold of me.
Yeah.
And then I choose whether or not I want to call them back.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. It's like, oh, somebody tried to call me. Okay, maybe I should get back to them. If it's work, well, they can wait, you know? Or,
and maybe it's just a generational thing with me and, you know, being a little bit older than you guys right behind my generation. Or we're in the same, pretty much the same generation, just earlier in the time frame. Where we grew up without phones and the social media and those kind of things, and even having music at our fingertips and things like that. We were talking about that earlier in the car about how we don't listen to records or cassettes or any of that kind of stuff because our LPs and all that stuff because we have music at our fingertips now. And there's bands out there who don't even worry about putting out full length albums.
Yeah.
So when I was watching one of my other shows, one of my other music shows, I am a music junkie. They're talking about how why should I bother working on 10 songs when I only need to come out with two really good songs and put those on the streamers. Those are the ones that are selling. No one's listening to the
market right
now.
No
one's listening to the other 8 songs I slaved over.
You
know,
like when the concept album was out there, you know, or like the art album was out there, you know, I mean, it's really hard for that place to even have a place out there now, to have a concept album or an art album or a storytelling album. We live in the singles world, you know, like the catchy tune, you know.
Yeah.
But that stuff's still out there and we can enjoy it.
One could argue that we always have, though. But guys like us chose to go outside of it and listen to the entire album.
Right.
Yeah. We've always lived in the singles world.
Yeah.
Right? But now it's...
There's very few and far between albums I even hear of that are concept albums. The last great album I heard is somebody, I think I tried to tune you guys on to before, from beginning to end, was it last month or the month before last? I think it was May. Is Jason Isbell came out with an album. And that I played that album from beginning to end like 3 or 4 times. I'm like, how in the world? You're like, I love it. I love that somebody made an album from beginning to end that was awesome, you know? And I'm like, wow, this is going to maybe be his year. You know, maybe he'll get some, you know, notoriety finally for his songwriting, you know? And that made me feel really good that, wow, an album I can actually enjoy from beginning to end, you know? Because it is very few and far between. It's like 3 or 4 tracks or whatever. Oh, they tried something different here on that track, and it's hard. It's really hard, I mean, unless you're really digging.
I want to finish my point about ignorance is bliss. I haven't read an entire book this year, which for me is... I have had reader's block really bad. I know why. Fundamentally, I know why. I spend too much fucking time on my phone, right? But I was talking to Damien on Instagram. Ironically, we were messaging each other, and I told him that. And he said, well, you can thank your phone and your tablet for that. So that was the day that I made...
And your attention span because of that.
That was the day that I made the decision to move a lot of shit around on my phone. Because I want to get back to the attention span that I had. That I want to be ignorant.
Engaged.
I want to be engaged in my books. I want to be engaged with you guys. I want to be engaged with my wife, right? Whereas I wasn't before. I have to dumb it down. I have to be ignorant. I have to stay away. I have to start breaking myself. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It is a generational thing. We are all the same generation, but you've just got some more time in it, right? I'm like 3 years out of being in the same position that you were, right? I mean, we're that middle generation. We didn't really have computers growing up. We kind of did, but we knew enough about them that when they came out and they started becoming prevalent that we dived into it. Whereas you didn't. You had to teach everything to yourself, right? Him and I were where we... It was kind of hand in hand. And it's become this double-edged sword, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I love that I can put on any sort of music today and listen to it. I love listening to going back and listening to Yes albums that I only heard 1 or 2 songs of them and listening to the entire thing, right? That is very, very huge to me. So I'm trying to utilize it be ignorant because I have to. You're right. Yeah. You hit it on the point before you even had to make it. It's about recovery. I'm having to do it for my own serenity.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't want to be.
Well, I wanted to put that out there because I didn't want people to think that you chose the opposite
you
of
the
you.
You took the words out of my mouth.
Because,
I would have gotten there.
I'm making that choice not to be that way. But you're also making a conscious choice to go the opposite way for your path to recovery.
Correct. And that's the only, because you're absolutely right. I don't think ignorant.
Because you're not, well, that's what I'm saying, you're not an ignorant person.
Right.
These people who listen to this, they don't know you. I know you. And I want to make sure it's out there that you're a very intelligent person, you're very smart, and you do pay attention to what goes on in the world. But you're making conscious choices on
to narrow that down and not be involved because I have to. It's part of my
But you job. Have to force yourself in these situations.
Right.
And that's what I was telling Jack on the way here, is that I had a situation at work a few weeks ago where I said, I'm putting my fucking vacation in.
Yeah.
And I
have to.
And next week, that is what my whole plan is to escape from all that and go out, have a book, enjoy the environment, fucking get this back, and not worry about all of this other shit, and just decompress and bring it all back to what I want, which is in here and here, being connected again.
Now it's a full circle, circle the train back around. What will you do musically when you do that?
Well, I'm going to download music in there.
Right, but you're going to listen to new stuff, or you're going to go back to nostalgia?
I'm going to listen to everything. I really am.
I'm just asking because that's what the point of this podcast is. It's talking about nostalgia, how things hit us, and is it a good thing, bad thing, and all that. And so I was curious. You said you had to take some mental health time and go up to the mountains, just be you in the moment. So I was curious to think. I was like, okay, you're going to listen to older stuff that brings back memories or to kind of maybe purge some stuff that you're dealing with?
Yeah.
Or you can listen to some new stuff and go, hey, I discovered this great stuff when I was up by myself up in the mountains.
I'm planning on doing both. I plan on just, I like the whole shuffle. And then, what is this? And then I can go down that rabbit hole of, if I'm in a place that I can do it.
Right.
If I can't, then I'm like, okay, well, I'll write a note to come back to that.
There's a good point right there you just touched on. It's like, okay, so when is, we're not always nostalgic. Like right now, we're kind of talking about nostalgia, so we're bringing those things up. Mm-hmm. But I don't think about, my past or the nostalgia of my life all the time. Mm-hmm. I think we're living in the moment. And I think that's really important. That alludes to the whole, on the good old days thing. We have to live in the moment. Time moves on. Time moves forward. How can you be successful in your life if you don't understand this is now and you have to make it work? Maybe it's not as good as it was. Maybe it is. It all depends on your point of view. But we have to deal with what's happening now.
Yes.
And musically and socially and everything else.
And you have to deal with it the way you want to deal with it, whether it's the way Jeremy chooses or the way you choose or
Absolutely.
The way I choose.
Yes.
Whatever we feel is going to be the best for our mental health and our environment, that is our decision, And I'm never going to take away from what everybody's situation is and how they deal with it. As I want to say, sitch. I'm not going to ever, I'm never going to question anybody's sitch. I really am not. Because we all are on different paths.
I have a gold star to give you, sorry.
We are all on different paths and we're on different roads. And
you sound like the old man trying to be it.
It's okay. You can't beat me up. But I can have fun with it.
Like, that's true.
Yeah.
I will say that every Friday Spotify drops a release radar.
Mm-hmm.
And more so recently, I've actually been listening to it.
I listen to new stuff every Friday myself.
Just because, and there's actually some pretty good stuff out there.
Yeah.
But it's nothing that I haven't found anything that I was like, I have to dive into that band. Like, I have to.
Who I'm looking forward to is somebody that has amazed me, and I think you might like them too, is Post Malone.
I love Post Malone.
And he's got a new album dropping, and I've heard a couple tracks off it already. And
I was surprised, to be perfectly honest, how much I like Post
me
Malone. Because I heard so much about him, and I started listening to a couple tracks, and I'm like, I don't know. But then the hits started coming, like Circle and a couple others. I mean, there's a handful of songs that kind of broke through mainstream. And I'm like, wow, this is a very talented man. I really like his voice. So, yes, it's one of those things. If you know me as a person, you'd be surprised that I'm a big Post Malone fan.
Yeah, he definitely is one of these guys that has amazed me. And I'm going to end it on this note as far as nostalgia goes for this episode. And that is, we talked about this on the way here also, Jack, is that everybody is giving Taylor Swift a lot of shit right now because she's so out there and popular. and we agreed with this. It's like, it's a Beatles thing right now. It's like, how huge is this person right now? And they are everywhere, and everybody sees everything. And I see the enjoyment it brings these people. And it makes me happy that somebody is bringing enjoyment into people's lives. Now, you can say you don't like it, and you can say you don't have to deal with it, but it's a positive thing. And that thing is like, people like to tear down positive things because it's like not their thing. Just let people have their moment.
It's the same. I would have to equate that to when the Harry Potter book series came out and it became such a phenomenon with the young teens and reading. Yeah. And some people dogged it because of the subject matter of witchcraft and wizardry and all that. Okay, Mike. But how do you feel about that? I think it's fantasy. Let people enjoy their fantasy. But they're missing the bigger point. It renewed an interest in the younger generation to actually read. You know, and I'll give it that. I would have debates with people and say, look, it's bringing people back. Look what they're reading. Doesn't matter. You know, it's the fact that they are reading. And I wish we'd have another renaissance of that again. I'm very terrible at that. I go in my spurts. You're a big reader. That's why you say you haven't finished a book. Me and John were surprised. Yeah. I haven't picked up a book in a couple of years because I go in my spurts where I'll read intently for a year or so of different things and I enjoy. Then I won't pick up a book forever just because, I don't know if there's a variety of reasons. I don't, but that's, that's okay. You know, I know people who can't go without reading a book. As soon as they finish one, they have a stack of books they're waiting to read.
I have 10 to 12 books on my bookshelf that have I'm a chapter or two into.
Yeah. And then when I go on my vacation next week, I'm going to try to get through at least one next week.
Get through that Rick Rubin. Tell me, because I started it and I haven't been able to get through it.
So I'm going to end it on this thing also that we talked about. And this is really important because it ties into the mental health thing we talked about. And it ties into who we are as individuals. And it ties into just you doing what you want in your life. And I'm going to bring it back to her again is... Here is this teenage girl who could have had a fucked up life because she was a teenage star, okay? She was a country artist.
Yeah.
And then at one point in her life, she says, I'm going to change my musical career and I'm going to do something completely different.
Well, I remember when Shake It Off was about to debut and how it was a big deal that she was going pop. And I thought to myself, why is this such a big deal? An artist is an artist. Who cares if she's doing country or pop or whatever?
So she went pop.
Yeah.
And she became a pop artist. And then she went through the pandemic like the rest of us did and went fucking folk. And people were like, what the fuck, you know? And that was when I was like, who is this Taylor Swift,
She followed her muse.
And that's when I said to myself, here is a person that's going after what they want and what they feel. And I think it's hard sometimes because artists do that. And they get a lot of shit because they're not staying within their box. And it's hard because we've done it to artists we like. We go, man, I wish they would have stepped out of their box. I wish they would have stayed and did what they wanted to do.
Right.
And that's part of them being
Metallica
who they are.
Metallica and the Black Album.
Isn't that hard, though? I mean, it's like, man, you want somebody to be who they want to be.
Went electric, those kind of things.
Yeah.
Didn't she go back and re-record her album?
She's re-recording her catalog. Because she didn't
get back ownership.
Right. The labels were trying to play hardball with her, so she just said, fine,
somebody bought it out underneath.
Yes, and now I'll just re-record the albums and tell my fans to buy my version and not those, which was a genius business move. And plus, she also gets the opportunity to revisit this music that she recorded at one time. Like we've been talking about,
Some
music means different things at different times. Mm-hmm. Now she can look at it through different eyes and maybe re-record it and do a better job record it differently how she really wanted to then but couldn't. So good for her.
And I like that artists can do that though too, because look at Elton John, re-recorded some of his stuff and mixed it up a little bit differently in his last album.
Which I didn't mind.
Yeah, I thought, that's cool, you're just trying something different. U2 just did it with their last thing. They mixed up their stuff. And I got to say, some of it I didn't like, and some of it I really liked. So it was like, to each its own, again, is what I'm saying, is because we are not them. We're not living their lives. And sometimes doing the same thing over and over and over every night can be a little rough. They want to do it for their fans. They want to make their fans happy. They want to provide that enjoyment for them, and I get it. but also they're human beings and they want to try to like enjoy what they're doing also at the same time. So I think we just need to give some artists a break and just say, we may not like what they're doing, but hey, if this is what's going to make them continue on recording, because like right now, I'm hearing shit from Pearl Jam fans, and I had to pull myself away from those social commentaries because they're like, they really hated Gigaton. They really, like, there's some fans that just hated it, thought it was a piece of shit. And I love the fucking album, but you can't say you love the album because then you're not really, like, you know, but I'm like, let them make fucking, like, Jeff Emmett came out and goes, we're making the fucking album we want to make. Basically saying fuck you to these fans that think that they owe them fucking something.
Right.
And I'm like, I agree with you, dude. They may not like it, but if you enjoy it and you guys are going to continue on as a band just to make yourselves happy, go ahead and do that. And I think that fans think sometimes they own these artists. And believe me, yes, you built them up. They're part of your life. But they're human beings also. And if you want them to continue just to deal with their mental shit and whatever they're going through in their life, let them enjoy the art the way they want to do it. Maybe the next album will be something that you like from them.
Dance of the Clairvoyants is a really fucking good song.
Yeah.
I haven't been a big fan of anything. Pearl Jam is...
Yeah.
I need to go.
That was their homage to their childhood in a lot of ways.
But that fucking song is, like, the first time I heard it, I was like, this...
Talking Heads influence, if you ever heard it, man. But anyway, thank you for this episode, Jeremy and Jack, and listen to our next episode.
Alrighty, folks, there we go. Mr. Jeremy McCree and Mr. Jack Miller, along with myself. I hope you enjoyed this episode. It meant a lot to me to get it out. We kind of steered off music a little bit there, but I think that was some important topics there to discuss. I'm sure a lot of you felt that and feel that. A lot of things dealing with our fathers. Also, just being engaged and actually being aware of what's going on with people. I'm sure a lot of you were wondering when that was recorded. That was actually recorded right before the Barbie movie did come out, as I'm sure that you are more than aware of there. But there was definitely some interesting conversations there about topics that I know I wanted to get out, and I'm sure that those gentlemen themselves wanted to talk about. Also, I wanted to bring up just a reference here because of a lot of the diversity we were talking about, that if you haven't had a chance yet, please check out the new Beyoncé album. I do think it's important to shake up some things out there, especially when it is coming to what expectations are as far as sound and design go. I'm hoping to see a lot more different styles of country coming out there, but also just in music in general, mixing genres up, trying different things, trying to stay out of the norm when it comes to music. I think that's something that we kind of have to embrace here a little bit, folks. I mean, definitely helps out to feel different things and to see different things in this world because we all are different, or try to just listen, you know, and be more engaged. I really do hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. I really hope you just learn to accept others for who they are, you know, and just try to be more open about our differences, because that's what's going to make this world a better place. As I say at the end of a lot of episodes, and I truly do mean it, please do your best to take care of each other out there and the ones you love, and always remember that, you know, you do not know what somebody else is going through, as somebody may not know what you're going through. But as we can move forward in this world, I hope music can help us be those better people and learn to love us as much as we can, as diverse as we are, in the music that we have and the music that made us. And until next time, this is Johnny signing out.
Hi, this is Johnny. I'm your host, and you are listening to Music Seeds, the music that made us.